Welcome to Truth Talks with Dr. Ann. So we are back today. I have with me a friend from Saskatchewan. We actually met when I was speaking on gender affirmation and the dangers of affirming gender care in Saskatchewan last summer. So this is Charlene Nightingale. Welcome, Charlene. Good to have you with us.
Oh, it's so good to be here. Yeah.
We're gonna talk about education today. And kind of what a little bit of what kind of got you in this fight about what's going on in the school and for the children. But first, can you give me a little bit of background, your background, and then how you got engaged with this?
Actually, I caught the Mama Bears and the Million Person March on Facebook, and we were aware that this event was going on. And my husband and I pastor church, and we were encouraging. I personally felt that there were people in the front lines, but not enough from the church. And this is something that we need to be supporting the people and standing there with them, because it's something we strongly feel about, but we can't just hide. And because there was so much negative feedback online, if you spoke up, people were hesitant to say anything. Right. I tend to be one of those mama bears that just plows in. And so as we started to get involved in that, we actually became aware of some situations that had happened in our local school and within the district. And I prayed about it, and because they had a number of speakers at the march, and someone reached out to me and they said, will you speak? So I asked God, and because I told her, I said, if God tells me yes, I'll go. And so I got a yes. And so I just addressed things from the spiritual realm. But at the same time, I began to do research and recognize what was going on. And I'm comfortable speaking. I'm a generation removed, so it's not quite as emotionally hard for me, although it is devastating. I don't know how you do this, Anne. I have to pull back and give myself breaks mentally and emotionally sometimes from it. And so from that, we had a meeting. We asked for a meeting with our school board. And there was going to be different parents presenting, hey, this happened to my child. And as I began to research, I put a presentation together, which was probably a God thing, because we got there. And again, the parents weren't able to. They're working really hard trying to support their families in this unique situation that Canada's in. And then we had seen a little bit in a community close where there was just a board meeting and people thought there was going to be this presentation. And so they all showed up, and it's uncomfortable. And I had communicated with our superintendent. I said, we do not want to yell at you. We don't want you to leave.
When you said there was a board meeting and a lot of people showed up, and you said it was uncomfortable. What was uncomfortable?
The LGBTQ thought that they were having a meeting with parents, and so they were going to protest outside the building, which makes it difficult for those that have been nominated for the board members to walk through it. And we've seen videos where there's people yelling outside the building. And it's like, they need to feel safe. If they're going to hear us, they need to feel safe. They need to feel not attacked. So we actually said, we're not advertising this first meeting. We don't want you to have to walk in through a bunch of people. And we are not.
The parents weren't feeling safe.
No, the board members. Because we've seen on YouTube videos that they'll shut their mics off, or they'll get up and leave the board meeting, or they called for the police to come. It was somewhere in BC. They called for the police to come because parents were protesting outside. So we wanted to avoid that situation. And so we even had very few people that we invited into the meeting so they would listen and feel safe.
So you have sides here, right? You have the LGBTQ were protesting, and then parents are So the board members were concerned.
Yeah, and we actually said if someone in the meeting becomes angry or that we would deal with it. We would remove them from the room.
Right.
And so we did everything we could so that that very first meeting, because my words were strong. The message was very strong and it was very black and white. This is what it is. This is what it's called. And so we wanted to have an environment where they would feel safe listening. And so, I think we...
I'm sorry to interrupt. So the parents, you were coming to the school board meeting to discuss things that you had heard and seen were happening in the classroom with the children. So can you just talk about some of those things that you found out? Because this is just relatively new for you. The Million Person March was just October 2023. So you've just kind of got into this whole, I'll call
deep
it
end.
About 6 months ago. So
So in preparation for the meeting, actually they gave us their curriculum guidelines, sexual orientation and gender diversity. They have a different name for it because they don't actually use the phrase SOGI, but I did say we're going to use that because it's the clearest and fastest. And so when they sent it to me, they just loaded the gun because it was right there, black and white. And I think they were trying to shut it down, but it just actually solidified everything.
So what you were reading,
what you were reading in their actual document.
Yeah. And so SOGI stands for sexual orientation and gender identity for those who are watching it and are not totally aware of that. And this document doesn't use that. It uses, and what did you say?
Deepening the discussion.
But it identifies exactly the same thing.
Absolutely.
In the education.
And we agreed on that in the meeting.
What is the most concerning issue in that document for you? And for parents?
That it shuts down the ability to say no, that it shuts down parents' ability to protect their children, that they cover everything in the anti-bullying. They use anti-bullying as, you know, we have to do this because kids are getting bullied. But what's happening is the kids that, or the families that are going, I want my child protected from this, or we don't agree with this, they get bullied.
Very much.
It's on posters in some of the schools in Saskatchewan. It's very, very harmful for young white males that they're awful. And I have three grandsons, so they're all coming up into this. So that's where my heart got engaged, is because of my grandchildren. And can I just tell you what has happened since that meeting?
Because that meeting was part and parcel, but you had a lot of interaction.
That was December. And so what happened there was we found where the communication wasn't happening. So, and it was awkward and it was hard. And so we're trying to walk with grace, because we have to flip this with the board and with the staff. We can't fight each other and expect a different outcome. So they recognized that some of the incidents that were happening at schools weren't actually getting to the superintendent. And in the meeting, the board is just wide-eyed because they weren't getting from the superintendent to the board. And they want to know. They do care. Some of them are very, very pro. We must take this out of the parents' hands. They're not qualified or equipped to raise their own children. And so this was our mandate. And we're like, yeah, no, it's not. I probably said about 10 times, this is not your purview. This is not your responsibility. And the government has clearly backed us up in that in Saskatchewan. But then we had to walk forward through it. So we recognized that there was communication breakdowns and things weren't getting communicated. And
the superintendent to the trustees?
No, but it also wasn't getting from the principal to the superintendent.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we see
and
that.
So
Ontario too.
Yeah, and they, you know what? It's like we can't fix anything if we don't know that it's going on. So we actually went, we kind of skipped over the school because we had the opportunity to meet with the board because of the notwithstanding clause that they'd come, that the government had put forward. But we do now have to go in and respectfully speak with the principals. And this is our school district. So from that meeting, they had changed some curriculum. There was one more push we'd like to get over the hump that nothing happens in grade five. Just high school is where it begins. Because once you open the door to it, we have no control what they'll want to shove it all in, and
All
still
the
too
sex
young.
ed. All the sex ed.
Yes. And so that was a really good outcome. And then we said we would meet again, and we were going to compile as many incidents as we could. After so that we went in to talk again just last week, and we had one of the board members reached out and he said, "I'm trying to help you, young lady." And he said, "I know, I was flattered that he said that." But he said, "What can we do? What do you want us to do tomorrow morning? What do you want us to do?" That was a very profound question. And
Yes.
so it took me off guard, and because I wasn't expecting that quickly. And I just said, "Take the pornographic books out of the library." Which entailed a little, well, we're not going to be banning books. That's not whatever. And I'm, so
Oh.
we discussed what would qualify. And I think this is a good phrase if parents are going in to speak, because our school district is not all the school districts are functioning from the same thing. We have had a lot of inroads that we're thankful for. And so maybe we're at the tip of the arrow. But I just said, if the teacher would not be comfortable over for lunch, reading that book to your children in front of you at your kitchen table in your home, then it should not be read in the classroom.
Wow, good for you. That's such a good statement because that's that is the nail on the head. And how many
It
teachers could read that in front of the parents? In fact, we've seen videos where parents have tried to read portions or show portions of those books to a school board or teachers, and well, school boards that I've mostly seen, and they get shut down. They're told they can't show that stuff, and it's like, but you're showing this to our children without our permission. Well, good for you, Charlene.
So we went through the process of, well, parents can go in the school, and if there's any of these books, bring them to our attention and we'll remove them. And sometimes you think after you get home. And so I just started thinking, we didn't put them in. We shouldn't have to do all the work to take them out. And then it got to the place of we were trying to find out how can we get these books without having, again, another battle or anything that was going to show up on the media. Because it's not helpful, because they twist things so badly. So as we went in to speak just a few weeks ago, I said, everything's on the computer. And if we have come to the point now where we are not going to do this in the elementary school, if this isn't going to be our curriculum, then we don't need the resources for it in the library. So I said, the other thing is we could go in and try to find them, but you have it all in the computer. I am not a library technician, but I know that you can go into the library and type in a subject and it will list or a keyword and it will tell you what books are in the library that have to do with that. And so that was acknowledged. Yes, in fact, we can do this. And so I said we would like a list of those books. And we
Wonderful.
came to the thing that if it's a pornographic book, either in this is grade five and in words or in pictures, we must remove them. And I said, and if we could evaluate the books from the list as parents so that we can say this is unacceptable. And so they're getting us those. And then the computer system went down.
Oh my.
It's
Oh,
and
that's
it's not like they were
valid.
making this up. It crashed. So we'll get them. And he sent me an email and he said, "I have someone doing this and I'll get this to you." So we got a yes so that we didn't have to go into each school. And so the other thing, because there is a little bit of, I'm not exactly sure what the word is, but they kind of fluff the air with stuff. And if you're not wise and discerning, and because it was like, well, the librarians are responsible for what books are in the library. They select and they choose. But when they sent me the curriculum, the Ministry of Education dictates to the librarians, you must have these books. Must order these books. So it's coming from up higher. We can't blame the librarians.
No.
Yeah.
And this is the pass the buck kind of thing that we've seen in the past continually over and over again. And I know in our own school board, with some incidences, the superintendent said, well, no, we're not in charge of that. The principal is in charge of that. And I'm like, really? And so when you hear all these things, there's someone up here that is dictating some of these things. And so you got kind of to the.
We got to the root of it. And we're at the point where we can begin to make changes of what's in the school. The other thing, and I spoke with our MLA about this, because I said, you brought this legislation forward, but you did not communicate to the parents what you were requiring the schools to do. And they had to address this and come up with a policy. And so someone from another school district reached out to me. They recognized we were going back for a second meeting, and they said, can you find out? Because we've gone to the principals and to our school district, and we've asked for this policy that the government said they must have by December. And they said, you can't have that. And so our school district said, no, we did, and we ours is done, and it's out there and it's accessible. We put it out there. Parents have to look for it. It's not up to us to communicate this. See, again, we have that. And so then he, again, in the letter, he said, I misspoke. I thought we had posted that and we hadn't. I will rectify this. But what he said to us is, if they are going to do any kind of a sex ed curriculum in the classroom, they have to submit it 2 weeks ahead of time. And I'm not sure if it's going down to the principal and then the principal to the superintendent, but he said, we had one come in and we said, absolutely not. You cannot teach that. So again, these are little bricks. They were dismantling things a little brick at a time. And we're very thankful for it. Yeah. It is encouraging, but I did say, you do recognize that as parents and as people looking at this, we have to trust that everybody's going to actually submit the curriculum. And that if you say no, that they're actually going to not teach it and not try to still sneak it in there. The trust is hugely shredded right now, and it will take some time to get it reestablished. Parents never have to think twice that anything would happen to their kids in school from this in the past. Right.
And now to get that back, to have some level of trust even beginning is huge. And so huge. Working
together. So we're thankful.
Yeah. Yes. Yes, yeah. Because you have some trustees that are really willing to listen and to just go, wow, okay, this is.
And the other thing is, as a province, we are working on replacing school trustees that need to be replaced. I think is the nicest way to say it, right? And so there, we're identifying them and then finding people that will run, that will speak. And because there's a tipping point. And so we're addressing that. We have to hit it on every level because it's at every level.
Oh, it certainly is. Well, it's very interesting how even though you've just kind of come on the scene and in the sense of having your eyes wide open to sex ed curriculum in the school. And also, you mentioned, the whole kind of aggression against white children,
right,
which is part of the critical my CRT.
I know
CRT. My brain is just gone now. What was that? Critical race theory, yes, which is all rooted way back in Marxism. So we have all this stuff happening in our schools that actually has been being funneled, trickled down through a couple generations, but we've been slow to identify it. And because parents have lives as well, and just raising your children is a huge job, having to monitor and to really almost reprimand teachers and school officials is not what parents are have ever had to do, you know? And so this is new ground, and they don't like doing it. Who likes doing it? But we've come to this conclusion that we just can't blindly trust anymore. There's right. too many people with other kind of, I would say, nefarious leanings that have been trickled in, and it's become a river, into our schools. And that actually, even though they may think that they are really trying to protect these children, it's just working the opposite. Like you said, with your child, your grandchild being bullied. I mean, when I went to school,
he wasn't bullied. He wasn't bullied. They have, see, this is where it comes into the curriculum, and it's hard for parents.
Okay.
Even if they say it's not sex ed, it's anti-bullying. So we have an eight-year-olds, classroom of eight-year-olds doing a word search. And you can search for a word that you don't know the meaning of. And this was the situation. And the only one that he said, there was a few that I don't remember them because they're not in their vocabulary and they shouldn't be in their vocabulary. But what he came home and said, what does bisexual mean? So the parents are like, oh, well. And so you go through the process. What did one of your friends say that word? Did you hear it on the bus? And then it was like, no, it was in health.
This is an eight-year-old.
Yeah. Yeah. And so as we extrapolate from that as parents, it's nobody in school wants to go, I don't know what's going on. So he didn't ask in the classroom, thankfully. And no, none of the other kids either said, I don't know what this word means. So if we extrapolate that, if a child had said, what does bisexual mean? I don't know what this word means. How exactly and in what depth and detail is a teacher going to teach a class of students? So boys yes. and girls together, it's not comfortable. You can't leave.
And they're 8 years old.
And they're 8 years old. And it means this, or it means this, or there's this that means this. And it's like, and they're just like, because you can't unhear it once you hear it. So then it has slowly begun to open up things that they should stay closed and protected from.
Well, if the teacher is introducing words such as bisexual, then it isn't a leap to think that there are other words, you know, homosexual, lesbian, polyamorous, that are probably not going to teach children at that age that, but queer and all of these other new acronyms that we have that label people. And the child is quickly, it goes from an eight-year-old in the process of just learning to live life and be a kid and learn history and geography, to having to learn all these sexual definitions, which is just pretty horrendous. And it changes the child.
It does. Changes their in their brain. Yeah.
It does.
We did say to the superintendent, we recognize that it's coming in under the anti-bullying curriculum, not as sex ed. And I said, because it's causing the potential for this to happen in the classroom and these types of things. And then we're not being kind to the others that aren't LGBTQ. See, that's now okay. And I have a grade 12 story for you if I have a minute to share it later. But I just said, can we not just tell kids, be kind? People are different, be kind.
That's right.
It shouldn't be every class, every day, shirt this color, shirt that color. Just be kind.
Well, we don't.
Because they're not thinking.
When we talk about diversity, equity, and inclusion, which are the new, you know, DEI is the new buzz phrase, you know, it all goes back. We don't need any of that if we practice the golden rule and teach that every day, not teach all the differences or magnified differences even that aren't even there to start with. If we go back to some basics, and that's all part of kindness, being kind to one another.
Yeah. So that with the parents, in speaking up and addressing it, they've had a little bit of feedback. Some of it is, you're the only one who called. I mean, that's just manipulatively condescending, because if it was a parent that said my gender queer or whatever child had to experience this in school, one would have been like, it would have hit the fan. But if a parent that says, you had a transvestite come in the classroom and my child, like, this is not okay. And it's like, oh, you're the only one who called. You know, that's,
yes.
So then it goes, what do you do with that? And they're concerned that the kids, when they get older, the kids are concerned, but when they're younger, the parents are like, if I go in and talk to this teacher, are they going to single my child out?
Yeah.
And are they going to have to pay for something that they didn't do? How do I protect my child if protecting them makes them more vulnerable? And so parents are, they're caught in this quagmire of wanting to protect their kids, but fearing that stepping out and saying something will put a target on their kid's back.
And that
depending on the teacher.
Yeah. And that brings me to this next consideration of what I've been saying for the last several years, is that the public school system is unsafe for children. It's unsafe for parents of children who are not identifying as one of the 120 some now, you know, gendered categories, which is absolutely ludicrous. And so I have been saying, you know, because the public school system is so unsafe, it is not the place for your child. And to somehow provide public education, not public education, private education, whether it be homeschooling or whether it is a church schools that are simply housed in the church, but classical education and those kind of things. And the statistics of the number of parents taking their children out of public education, it's going through the roof. And not because I'm saying it, just because parents are looking at what's going on and saying, we're not going to put up with this. I'm not sure where that will all end. I don't know.
I have a thought, because part of my heart goes to the kids or the parents or the families that can't. So yeah. I have a season, I feel, where it's like, if we can stop and redress this for those who can't, either they can't afford or they don't even have, they just feel like they can't. And so there's no other option for them in their heads, at least, than having their children in a public school, that we get them safer and undo this. So that's the first goal. But I believe there'll be a point where, because I believe that part of what we're dealing with isn't actually education. It's an attack on God. He's like, this is family. This is how I made males. This is how I made females. You need to protect children. And I've made them male and female, and that there's a little bit of a season here where he's saying, you fix this, or I'm going to shift things.
Yeah.
And so my part in that is that I'm, you know, I at the forefront of this battle for a season. But if God says, yeah, no, I'm done with this, this institution can't be redeemed, then
this people.
Yeah. Then we have to, because I do believe even within that, as we communicate that some people's eyes and teachers and people in the system, their eyes are open because they're not aware exactly what it is, and that it gives them opportunity to shift.
Well, that's our hope. That's our hope.
Yes.
And right. I mean, there's the two sides to it, for sure. And I understand the whole dilemma, certainly with two parents working and trying to provide and everything going on, and it's already difficult enough. And we should be able, we're paying taxes. These are our schools. You know, ultimately, we should be the ones who have the input into it. And yet we haven't taken that under our own advisement all these generations. You know, we've kind of let it happen in that sense. So now we're doing some other trying to backtrack a little, trying to change things. So where do you see yourself moving forward? What are you going to keep doing? What are you, What are your plans?
We are going to now just step in and very not apologetically, but just say we didn't mean to overstep our local school, and there's one we can address. The other one we're going to have to deal with differently, but to go in and just sit down with the principal and vice principal, and because they're like, hey, we got a letter from the superintendent, you know, and it's like, yes, we didn't mean to. The meeting with the trustees happened, and so we just want to loop them in now and say this is where the parents are, and then at some point in time, I can't be the only voice.
No.
It's helpful, but it opens the door to this. Nobody else cares about this, only you, Charlene. We don't have any parents, which is actually a lie, but it's like we don't have any parents
That's a gap
speaking to
point.
this. So you're just being a prude. They use that word prudish a lot in
Isn't that
in the
interesting?
WHO document. Anyways, it's not in the curriculum thing, but they are very, very. See, the message is split. It's like we're accepting of everybody, and everybody gets to say what they feel and what they believe and what they think. But if it's disagreement with LGBTQ or gender dysphoria, which they call gender identity, then as teachers, you must shut them down. The students must be reprimanded. We do not allow this. And it's like, so you say I can agree and that this is what it is, but I can't. I can only say what I believe if it lines up with what you believe. And so we're not actually raising good citizens
We're not
because we
raising
should be
critical thinkers,
That's the
and that's where we want to keep. So you're going to meet with local principals and try and pull this together. I think you've done a really, really good job. And there are others who have come alongside you, a few
Very much,
people.
very much.
And
Absolutely.
I know there were a lot. I was very amazed at the number of people that showed up when I was speaking out there. That was one of the larger groups I've ever had the privilege of speaking to. So that was wonderful. So until this curriculum's out of the school, is that kind of what you're thinking, that you're going to stay in this? Awesome. Awesome. That's what we need to hear. Well, and I want to thank you so much for what you've done and for how you have supported both the children and the parents. And your heart is for all people. The teachers too are, some of them are very caught in this. They don't want to be teaching these things. So you become a voice then, not just you, but all those who are speaking and saying, well, let's just take another look at all this, the sex ed and the depth of it, or the breadth of it, whatever you want to call. And because some of the teachers themselves have been so burdened by the fact that they are mandated to teach these things. And so you give them a voice as well. You start touching their hearts because they're like, oh, thankfully somebody's saying what we've been feeling, but we can't say anything. So it's been very courageous of you, Charlene, and I'm so grateful to have you on today.
It was an honor. It's really a privilege. I appreciate how much you went before. I could not have done this. When I read your book, I'm going, she's been fighting this battle for like over a decade, and I didn't even know who you were. And so what you did was you actually my presentation for the most part came out of the decades of research and life that you've lived for others so that I could speak. I kind of just reiterated a lot of what you've been speaking for years. And so that just it opened the door. It gave me confidence that there's scientific background for how damaging this is.
Yeah.
And
And there's more coming out. There's more coming out all the time. But the battle is intense as well, because when there is research that comes out that supports what we are saying, there's often the media that backlash that says, no, that's not true at all. And we see that. And so we have to keep bringing truth to light. Thank you so much. And we'll hopefully get talking again. God
That would
bless
be
you.
great. Appreciate you. Thanks, Anne.
Thanks for watching today. I hope that you would consider reaching out to Charlene Nightingale. We're going to put her email address on here. Make sure that in the subject line you put sex ed or SOGI or something so it doesn't go into spam. But Charlene and her group are actually putting together some parent lists with some of the experiences that the children have had and compiling a file. So it would be very helpful if you are interested, if you're a parent, a grandparent that really wants to know more about what's happening in Saskatchewan and across Canada, then feel free to reach out to Charlene. And God bless you. Thanks for watching, and we'll talk again soon.
You've been listening to Truth Talks with Dr. Rann. Thank you so much for joining us today. You can find Anne's books, blog, and sign up for the newsletter by going to restoringthemosaic.ca.